Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you. Turn to your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6, 10 through 14a. And in our pew Bibles, that's 952. I'll give you a second to find that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
Thank you, Anna. That is our series, and we're going to keep tracking that so that we can remember what we're dealing with this summer. We're in our series, Suit Up. And we're going to look at the different pieces of the armor of God that Paul is instructing this church to put on. So last week we looked at just spiritual warfare in general. And we said, you know, it's not something we really talk about, but we are in a spiritual battle against an enemy who wants to devour us. But the enemy lies to us in two big ways, through temptation and through accusations. So I don't know about you if you heard lies this week. I know I did. And so it's just part of what we're going through. But we're going to look each week at one of the things that Paul tells this group to do so that they can stand firm. The book of Ephesians, remember we talked about it's broken up into two kind of sections. Paul talks about who we are in Christ because of what Christ has done. And then he talks about how we are to live then because of that. So let's keep that in mind today as we look in deeper into this series. And I'm going to read from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, very familiar words of our Savior. That is on page 877 in that same pew Bible. And I do invite you, if you can and are able, to stand as we honor and show reverence for the gospel lesson this morning. Hear the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So first I want to address truth. Our society says that truth is really an opinion. There is no absolute truth anymore. It's what you believe truth to be. And what I believe truth to be might be different than what Anna believes or different than what Michelle believes, but that's our own personal truth. Paul, when he uses the word truth, he means in an absolute fact. There is no way to distinguish truth in the Greek. It means absolute. It means without wavering. It's just a fact. And that's the way that Paul is writing this to the church in Ephesus. But Paul's drawing on two things. He's drawing on the belt and then the truth. So everyone hearing this would have visualized the Roman soldier. And I was once told a good teacher provides visual aids. So I've been working out really hard so that I could get this flat stomach here so that I could show you. I got to bend down to see it. The people online are going to wish they were here today. Sarah, you haven't got to see how ridiculous I look. My mom's proud of me, Sarah. But this part here that would have come up about to the midsection here, and this is, it should have been in two pieces, but they don't make plus size costumes in two pieces. So the belt here and then what comes down, it would have been the belt that Paul was referencing. And during the children's sermon, we heard what the purpose of that was. It acted really as kind of a girdle. It held everything together. The breastplate would sit on top of it and it would lock the breastplate in. The sword would hang from it. But it would also keep the baggy clothes from getting in the way while running or fighting or hand-to-hand combat. So that's the belt that Paul is referencing. It's both restrictive in the fact that it restricts what can get in your way, but it's also freeing because a soldier could run and know that he wasn't going to get tripped up. So it's kind of this weird balance between it's restrictive in what it's doing, but it's also freeing the soldier to do the battle that it needs to do. Truth. Truth, as we see it, is an absolute reality. When Paul is writing this letter, remember we talked last week that the letter wasn't broken up into chapters. They didn't gather once a week for a chapter a week. They read the whole letter together. So they're hearing chapter 6 after our chapter 5. That makes sense, right? 5, then 6. Paul says these words in chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the whole theme of the letter. You once were this, but now you are light in Christ. That's who you are. And now live that out by living through goodness, righteousness, and truth. So the belt of truth, to be prepared for spiritual battle, to live out who we are in Christ, Paul says to put on the belt of truth. See, when Paul's talking about this armor, he's implying that we all have it, that it's there. But there's an imperative, a command to put it on. You ever had a belt at home and left the home without it? You had a belt. You just didn't put it on. And that's really uncomfortable. I made the mistake of not having a belt at the Sockahatchee site this week. You can't do much good on a house holding on to a belt loop and trying to lift stuff. Did the best I could. So let's see, what did Jesus say about truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, sadly, I think we mistreat this verse in two major ways. We treat it as if it isn't true. Our society says, no, you don't have to believe solely in Jesus to get to heaven. Y'all have heard that in some way, shape, or form. Okay? You just got to be a good person and do this and get along and you can find God in everything. So as long as we care for each other and help each other out, we're just going to be good moral people. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is the only person that I know that died to take my place and then came back to life. So I'm going to stand on his words to be true. But then the other way that I think we misuse this verse is we treat it like it is true. Now that sounds funny, doesn't it? We treat it like it is true, and all we have to do is believe in Jesus, and then we're done. And those of you that know my passion for theology, you know we call that justification. We've been justified, we've accepted Christ, and now we stand justified and realigned with the Father. Very important, very necessary part to our faith. But verse 12 of the 14th chapter that we read just a minute ago says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and will do even greater things than these." See, Jesus says believing is great. That's the way to the Father, but then we are to do as he did. And Scripture is full of that. And you know the theological term for living out our justification is sanctification. You can tell who's tired of me saying that. But too many times within the church, we have these emotional highs. You ever been to a worship service or a revival or a cantata? Or maybe you saw your child take communion for the first time, or they got baptized, or you got baptized, and you're on this emotional, spiritual high. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened, and I'm going to live for him forever. And then by Tuesday, you're burned out. You're tired. Somebody cuts you off at work, and all that good Jesus stuff is out the window. Right? Don't look at me like, hey, y'all get mad. I see some of you driving around town. But see, when Jesus talks about the absolute truth of who he is, it's not merely a fact, an opinion, or a good idea. He's saying, I am the only thing that can close the gap. That's the way we talk about it in confirmation and at VBS. There is a separation between God and human, and Jesus is the only bridge that can close that gap to get us from our sinfulness to our Father. But much like the belt, truth is also restrictive and freeing. And see, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't want to do that whole Jesus thing because it's rules and I don't want to it's no fun. My life will be boring. But I don't think my life's boring. Maybe it's because I got a great wife and some wonderful kids. But I think Jesus wants us to have fun. Don't you? I think so. You're the only one that's smiling. Everybody else is like ready to... I just should have brought my sword this morning, you know. It's coming up a few weeks later. Jesus says these words in John 18. My kingdom is not of this world. He's talking to Pilate, right? He's about to die, and he says these words. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Pilate says, you are a king then. Jesus answers, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Now that's Jesus' words. That's not Preacher Andrew's words. Jesus just said, if you listen to me, you follow my commands, which we also know means we love him, then we're on the side of truth. If you're on the side of truth, that also, my common sense tells me, that means there's a side of non-truth, untruth, something. There's another side is what I'm trying to say. So Jesus says, no, those that are with me are of the truth. Those that aren't with me have not yet accepted the truth. So our faith, our truth, of who Christ is and who we are in him is restrictive. We can't claim to be disciples and live how we want to live. We claim to be disciples and then live by the example of Christ as we continue to grow in maturity in our faith. Truth is also freeing. In John 8, Jesus said this to the Jews that believed in him. If you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's freeing. Because you see, when you know the truth, when you stay within the restrictiveness of the truth, it's freeing. Because now that enemy that lies to me, it's got no power over me. Because I can stand and say, good try. That's a lie. Because I know who I am in Christ, and I've been set free. I don't have to listen to the temptations and the accusations of my past because I have been set free. The verse continues and says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. When we live into that freedom, the peace that passes all understanding is available to us. So have you put on the belt of truth? You may know about the belt of truth. You may know the truth of Jesus Christ, but have you put it on? Have you clothed yourself that's who you are? That in our baptism, we were buried with Christ and then raised to a newness of life. There is no other way to the Father. So the truth that you put on is restrictive. So personally, how is the truth of Christ restricting the decisions you make as you live out this new life in Christ? And then it's freeing because you no longer have to listen to the enemy. You no longer have to listen to the lies about yourself. You see, the truth is that Jesus gave up his body to be broken and his blood to be shed because he knew that was the only way to get us to the Father. And so as we prepare to go to the table this morning, I want you to hear in the liturgy the restrictiveness and the freeing power of Christ. Then when we leave this place and we go about our normal activities, suit up. Put on the belt of truth. Know that you are free, that you can stand firm to the lies of temptation and accusations as we live according to who we are in Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.